Da-da-da-da-da. Good evening, folks. It's time for Bedtime Stories with Thompson. Our story this time around is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. This is Chapter 9, Pearls and Sharks. February began, and we were almost halfway through the Indian Ocean, approaching the island of Ceylon at the tip of the Indian Peninsula. I was in the lounge one morning reading a book about Ceylon when Captain Nemo joined me. "Ceylon is famous for its pearl fisheries," he said. "Would you like to visit one of them?"
"I certainly would, Captain," I replied.
"Fine. The fishing season does not begin until March, so we will not see any fishermen, but you will enjoy it just the same."
"How do these fishermen bring up the pearl oysters?" I asked.
"Their methods are quite primitive, I'm afraid. The divers go down about 40 feet while attached to their boats by a rope. A heavy stone gripped between their feet holds them down as they gather the oysters."
"But how long can these divers stay down without any kind of diving suit or air?"
"Not too long," answered the captain. "Some manage to stay down about a minute, but when these poor creatures return to the surface, blood is usually pouring out of their ears and noses from the pressure of the water. That is, if they come up, for there is always the danger of sharks in these waters."
"Sharks!" I exclaimed. "Will we be facing sharks?"
"It's quite possible, Professor, but you'll find shark hunting very interesting, too."
Once Captain Nemo left the room, I broke out into a cold sweat. Sharks! I wiped my forehead and picked up my book on Ceylon again. I tried to concentrate on the words, but between every line I kept seeing the terrifying wide-open jaws of sharks. Just then, Ned and Conseil burst in.
"We have received a pleasant invitation from that captain of yours," exclaimed Ned.
"Oh," I said, "so you know?"
"Yes," answered Conseil. "The captain has invited us to visit the magnificent pearl fisheries of Ceylon."
"Did he tell you anything else?" I asked.
"Only that it will be very interesting," said Conseil.
I realized that Captain Nemo had not told them about the sharks.
"Should I?"
But at that moment, Conseil asked me how oysters made pearls, and I was grateful for the chance to take my mind off sharks for a while. So I began my lesson on pearls. "The oyster is a small sea animal with two shells covering its soft flesh. Sometimes a tiny sea creature or a grain of sand finds its way inside these two shells and rubs against the oyster's flesh. To protect itself, the oyster forms a hard covering over this object. Layer upon layer of this covering is built up over a period of years, and a shark is formed."
"A shark!" cried Ned.
Did I say a shark? I meant pearl, of course.
"Does an oyster ever contain more than one pearl?" asked Conseil.
"Yes, my boy, some oysters have contained several sharks."
"You mean pearls!" exclaimed Conseil.
"Yes, of course, pearls. By the way, are you gentlemen afraid of sharks?"
"Me?" answered Ned. "A long time harpooner. It's part of my job to laugh at them."
"I'm not talking about harpooning them from the deck of a ship," I explained.
"You mean we're going to..."
But Ned couldn't finish his question.
"That's right," I said.
"Underwater.
And what about you, Conseil?"
"If Monsieur is willing to face sharks, then his faithful servant will face them too."
The next morning we sat in silence as the crew rowed the dinghy towards the oyster beds. We were about 3 miles from shore when Captain Nemo gave the order to drop anchor. As we were putting on our diving suits, Captain Nemo handed me a steel knife.
"This will be more useful to you down there than a gun," he said.
Ned and Conseil had knives, too. In addition, Ned carried an enormous harpoon. The crew helped us over the side of the dinghy, and we followed Captain Nemo along the ocean floor. Pearl oysters by the millions clung to rocks all around us. We were all anxious to begin filling our sacks with these treasures that just might contain pearls. Just then, Captain Nemo motioned for us to squat down behind a rock. He pointed to a spot about 15 feet away where a shadowy figure with a stone between his feet was descending to the ocean floor. It was a diver, probably an Indian, come in search of pearls before the regular harvest time. We watched him dive several times, drop to his knees, fill his sack with oysters, then swim up to his boat. Suddenly, while he was in the midst of tearing an oyster from the rock to which it was attached, a look of terror came over his face. When I saw a gigantic shadow appear above him, I understood his terror. A huge shark was heading towards him with its jaws wide open.
Oh my, what's gonna happen? Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I was frozen to the spot where I crouched. As the shark headed in for the kill, the Indian jumped to one side and avoided its jaws. But the shark's powerful tail struck him on the chest and knocked him flat on the ocean floor. Then, just as the shark was getting ready to cut the Indian in two, Captain Nemo jumped up. With his knife raised, he headed straight for the monster, ready to fight it hand to hand. The shark, seeing another possible victim, turned to attack the captain. When it was just inches away, Captain Nemo stepped to the side and buried his knife in the animal's belly. Blood poured from the wound and the sea turned red, but the shark still had some fight left in it. The brave captain clutched one of its fins and plunged his knife into the creature's belly again and again, but he couldn't seem to strike its heart and kill it. Then suddenly, the creature pushed its enormous weight against the captain and knocked him to the ground. The shark's jaws opened, ready to cut the captain in two. But at that instant, Ned leaped forward and hurled his harpoon. The shark thrashed about with terrifying fury, then it was still. Ned had struck its heart. Captain Nemo got up immediately and went over to the Indian. He took him in his arms and swam up to the surface with him. The three of us followed them up to the fisherman's boat. Captain Nemo gave the man artificial respiration, and he soon opened his eyes. How surprised he must have been to see four helmets bending over him. But he must have been even more surprised when Captain Nemo put a bag of pearls into his trembling hands. Where had his luck come from? We then left the puzzled Indian and made our way back to the dinghy. The moment Captain Nemo's helmet was removed, he turned to Ned and said, Thank you for saving my life, Mr. Land. As the dinghy sped back to the Nautilus, we saw the dead body of the shark floating on the surface. It was well over 25 feet long, and its huge mouth, with six rows of teeth, took up one-third of its body. Within minutes, a dozen other sharks appeared and began fighting over the flesh of the dead shark. Back on board the Nautilus, I felt the need to tell Captain Nemo how much I admired his courage and his deep concern for another human being. When he answered, it was in a trembling voice. The Indian lives in a land where his people are abused by others. His kind of people are the ones I shall help till the day I die.
The day he dies.
End of chapter 9. Boy, that was some excitement, huh, Hon Thompson?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that chapter?
Because sharks are bad, aren't they?
They're not bad, they're just dangerous. They're just trying to make a living like everybody else. They're not bad. They don't have a moral prerogative of good or bad. They're an animal. They're one with their natural world. So, basically, if it moves and they think they can eat it, they'll eat it. Anyways, no worries about sharks because they only live in salt water.
Like humans?